Please be seated. Can't see this transept for the flowers. Dreams are fascinating things. When we dream, our mind is processing the things that happen during the day. It's processing our anxieties and our worries and the things that occupy our brain. It's a way of processing it all until we get up and do it all over again. And anxiety dreams are even more so fascinating, aren't they? I'm in a group chat of clergy where we specifically name all the liturgical anxiety dreams we have about Holy Week. And there are lots of them. The most common anxiety dream is a dream of falling, of plummeting through the air, and sometimes you jerk and wake up. Natural disasters are super common anxiety dreams, which is interesting because I don't think I've ever had one of those. So tornadoes and earthquakes are huge in anxiety dream world. There's always the naked in the middle of everybody dream, or the I'm back in school and didn't study for the test, or don't know where my locker is, or can't find the classroom, or don't even know what class this is supposed to be. All of these things we process. And you may note that in all of these, a key component is loss of control, or not understanding, or not having the knowledge. And so in our anxiety, we process what it means to not be in control, and to not know the things we think we ought to know, and not to be able to do the things we think we ought to be able to do, because we like to have it all together. We like to look like we know what we're doing. We like to have the right answers when people come to us. We like to not be the people that go, huh? Right? We want to know. We don't want people to know that we don't have all the answers, that we don't always know what's going on, and that we aren't hardly ever in control. Another one of the most common anxiety dreams is that of losing a loved one. We worry about what it means when we lose someone we love. And in our gospel today, Mary Magdalene is living that nightmare. She has lost the one she loves the most. The Lord has died. And she goes to the tomb and finds she's also actually lost him. He's not there. And she comes to that tomb empty-handed. In this gospel, in the Gospel of John, it's not going with the oils to anoint. That's already been done. She's going empty-handed. She's going without any understanding of what's happened. She's going without any barriers. She's going brokenhearted to the tomb to find the one she loves. She is laid bare, just like Jesus on the cross was laid bare. And when she gets there, he's not there, and she runs back and says, "The Lord is missing, and we do not know where he is." You hear the anguish in her voice. And did you notice she said, "We"? In that moment, I think Mary Magdalene is all of us, exclaiming that we don't know, that we don't have all the answers as much as we desperately want to. We don't have it all together as much as we want to look like it. And that feels completely undone, and we don't know what to do with that, if we're honest. We don't know where he is. That is the angst of humanity. And in truth, the stories in Scripture are stories over and over and over again of people trying to make sense of things they do not understand. Just like our stories again and again of God's people trying to make sense of things they do not understand. And perhaps that's not the point. Austrian philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein says that perhaps it's our souls that have to be saved, not our abstract minds. So we don't have to logic or reason our way into salvation. It is our souls that need saving, We cannot reason our ways to salvation. We cannot think our way to salvation. We cannot control, as much as we want to, our way to salvation. We need something other. And of all the miracles that God does, and God does some great miracles, right? Why is the resurrection the one that is salvific? I mean, let's look at it objectively. You've got the parting of the Red Sea. That's a giant body of water. It splits in two, whole armies pass through it. That is a big old miracle. Why is that not the salvation miracle? Right? Or the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people eat until they're full and there's extra left over? That's a giant miracle. Why is that not the salvific miracle? Why one guy raised from the dead? Because the death and resurrection of Jesus, in that God shows us the incredible height and depth and boundless ending of Christ's love for us. Because in the death and resurrection, God shows us that we can throw our worst at God and God will still love us because we did. Because on Good Friday, we did the worst thing humanity can do. We plunged to the depths out of which we cannot come ourselves. We killed God. And God loved us anyway. And God chose to rise again anyway. So the resurrection tells us that there is nothing, beloved, we can do that can separate us from the love of God. God showed us completely, physically, personally, belovedly, that there is nothing that separates us. And that is the salvific miracle. That saves our souls. That we cannot comprehend because we cannot love that much. So we cannot control our way to salvation or think our way or understand our way because we cannot. But we can love. And we can hold that love and we can be loved. Ludwig Wittgenstein also says that only love can believe in resurrection. Our brains can't do it. We can't understand the whole thing of science, dead, alive, that doesn't make any sense. But we can understand it with our hearts. We can understand it with our souls, and we can let our souls be held in that heartbreaking love that is laid bare in that scene when Mary is collapsed at the tomb, weeping. And Jesus says, Mary. In that moment when he calls her by name, I imagine we've all felt it when someone we love calls our name when we most need to hear it and it melts our heart and makes us know we are safe and held. That is that moment. In that moment, the we who did not know is the we who know at the core of our being that we are beloved. We are held. We are safe. We are saved. And that salvation, that love that cannot be separated, that depth of love that fills us always and surrounds the world and sends us forth is what Mary proclaims as she runs. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the love. I have known that I am beloved to the core of my being. And no matter what I do or you do or you do or you do or even you, you too are beloved. And that is salvific. That is why we're here. That is Easter. That is the miracle of the resurrection, that God's love never ends and we will never again be separated from the love of God. Not now, not ever, not for all of eternity. Love proclaims the resurrection. And so, beloveds, do we on this Easter morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Hallelujah.